Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY24 earnings conference call of Suprea Lifesciences Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Irfan Raeen from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Raeen.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you and welcome to Q1 FY24 earnings call of Suprea Lifesciences Limited. Today on the call we have Dr. Satish Wadhwa, Chairman and Managing Director, along with senior management team. Before we begin the call, I would like to give a short disclaimer. This call may contain some of the forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on belief and opinion and expectation as of today. Actual results may differ materially, and these statements are not guarantee of future performance and involve unforeseen risk and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. A detailed safe harbor statement is given on page number 2 of investor presentation of the company, which we have uploaded on stock exchanges and company's website. With this, I hand over the call to Satish, sir. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Good morning and warm welcome to all the participants. Thank you for joining us today to discuss the quarter one financial year 2024 results of Suprea Lifesciences Limited. To take us through the results and answers to your questions, along me and I have Dr. Saloni Varma, Director, and Mr. Krishna Raghunathan, Chief Financial Officer, and our Investor Relations Department, Orient Capital. I hope everyone got the opportunity to go through the financial results and investor presentation, which have been uploaded on the stock exchanges as well as the company website. First, let me share some light on our latest announcement regarding the exclusive technology licensing agreement from Plasma Nutrition, granting Suprea Lifesciences Limited has the sole rights of manufacturing and marketing ingredient optimized protein, that is IO protein, in India. India's rapidly growing demand for protein supplements made this a very attractive proposition for us. Its high bioavailability makes it perfect candidate to be used as a protein powder as well as other protein supplements. This is because ingestion of IO protein ensures higher amounts of proteins are absorbed quickly by the body, providing consumers with a more effective and efficient protein supplement. We are very optimistic regarding this strategic partnership and believe that the product has a huge opportunity to emerge as a better, healthier alternative amongst the protein nutrition product in our country. Quarter one started with a great momentum across segments like antihistamine, analgesic vitamins, anesthetics, and anti-asthmatic. We continue to retain our position as the largest exporter by the volume of some product segment and fulfilling the growing and the demanding needs of the prominent global pharmaceutical companies. Our business mix, revenue contributed by various regions, stays in line with previous quarters except North America, which increased from 5%-9%. Hence, we see good traction in untapped regulated markets for our key products. Under anesthetic therapy, three ANDA projects have been initiated, and we are also working on ANDA projects like antihypertensive and vitamins. We will keep you all updated as and when progress happens. Now, coming to our quarter one FY24 performance, our continuous efforts to reduce our reliance on China due to the pandemic, along with the enhanced focus of regulated markets such as U.S., Europe, and Latin America, have led to a substantial YOY increase, year-on-year increase in our revenues, reaching rupees 132 crore. As you are aware, we have been consistently maintaining a targeted EBITDA margin range of 28%-30%, we are pleased to announce remarkable growth of 42% in EBITDA, announcing rupees 44.5, resulting into EBITDA margin of 33.7%. Furthermore, our profit after tax, PAT, has demonstrated as impressive by year-on-year growth of around 13%, reaching to 28.5 crore, accompanied by PAT margin of 21.6%. We believe the company is in a good position, and with a great start of financial year 2024, we are confident to sustain same level of performance which we have guided. As we mentioned previously, in the future of company lies in R&D. We initiated the process of setting up enhanced R&D and pilot plant at Ambernath lab, which is currently under construction and will be operational by Q4 financial year 2024. This would be used for next phase of expansion for rolling our new APIs and CMO and CDMO business. The company focused on deepening its knowledge base across complex chemistries, technologies, and patented processes. With this, I hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Krishna Raghunathan, to share the Q1 financial year 2024 financial highlights with you all. Over to you, Krishna.
Thank you, sir. Hello, everyone, and good morning. I will now share the operational performance of the quarter, following which we will open the floor for question and answers. Company's reported a revenue from operations of INR rupees 132 crores in Q1 FY 2024, as against INR rupees 101.4 crores in Q1 FY 2023. EBITDA in Q1 FY 2024 stood at INR 44.5 crores, as against INR 31.3 crores in Q1 FY 2023. EBITDA margin stood at 33.7% for Q1 FY 2024, as against 30.8% in the same period last year, thus registering a growth of around 287 basis points. Profit before tax was at INR 42.6 crores from Q1 FY 2024, as against INR 30.1 crore in Q1 FY 2023. PAT stood at INR 28.5 crores in Q1 FY 2024, as against INR 25.3 crores in Q1 FY 2023. PAT margins stood at around 21.6%. With this, we can now open the floor for question and answers, and thanks to all of you for attending our conference call.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ishita Jain from Ashika Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. My first question is,
Excuse me, ma'am. I'm sorry to interrupt. Ma'am, your audio is not clear. May we request you to use your handset, please?
Is this better?
Yes, ma'am. Please continue.
Okay, thank you. So do we have any quantity to China in this quarter's top line?
Yes, we do have some volume which has gone to China. In terms of the volume, the business is recovering. So we are seeing a lot of volume traction again happening from the Chinese market. However, because of the current situation in China, there is a little bit of price pressure which is still there.
Yeah, as far as Supria is concerned, Supria concentrates on volume there, because we have committed certain volume of 45 metric tons. Above that we go, it will be put under anti-dumping duty. That is what they say from the Chinese end. So we concentrate only 45 metric tons, and very happy to say we already have sold out for the current financial year.
We did 45 tons in the first quarter?
No, no. What he-
What is the 45 tons?
We already have a contract in place to cover the volume, out of which some quantity we have partially shipped, and the balance would come in the subsequent quarters.
Got it. And is it the same historical EBITDA margin that we've maintained previously before lockdown?
No, the margins will not be same like what you had in the historical past. The margins would be constricted, madam.
Got it. Thank you. My second question is a bit broader question. For our APIs in the pipeline, can you give some qualitative color? Do we have innovator APIs or any highly complex ones or any APIs with high entry barriers, thus low competition? Some color on this would be great.
So yes, we are working on three different baskets of APIs in R&D. One is, the APIs with certain innovators. So these are the kind of tie-ups that we are currently looking at. The other APIs are, again, in the generic space where we currently operate, but these have very large volumes. And chemistry-wise, there is a lot of complexity, which we think is our core capability. So some APIs from categories like anti-anxiety, anti-diabetic, these are some of the therapies that we are evaluating, and they would really fit in well with our existing therapeutic basket. And then, of course, there are certain opportunities in the CDMO space where a lot of the larger companies, they are now working on reducing the supplier. They have this kind of a strategy. So once we are approved with some of the larger multinationals, they want to add more products in our basket. So some type of long tie-ups wherein the API volume is guaranteed and the term of the agreement is guaranteed, these are also some of the products that we are currently considering.
Got it. Great. Thanks for that.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Varun Mohan Raj from Carnivore Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. So we've been talking about new products coming online and as well as CMO contributing to our revenue significantly from FY 2025 and 2026 onwards. So in the medium term, when all these products and CMO come online, our current exposure to top three products is like 35%. So when all these new products and CMO come online, how much can we reduce our exposure to our top three molecules?
So if you're looking at a long term, by FY 2026, when most of the CDMO opportunities, new product sales come in, also some of the existing basket products where we currently have no traction in regulated markets, when they also scale up, the dependence on the current product, which is around 35%, would go down to somewhere around 20%.
Okay. Thank you. And my second question is, we've also talked about debottlenecking one of our old blocks and taking our overall capacity post-Ambernath to around 1,100 KL and also about Isambard plant for future growth. So any update on that? Have we started working on those plants?
Yes. So capacity enhancement, we are doing in two parts. One is the existing capacity, which we have at Lote site, which is our USFDA-approved site. The current capacity is around 550 KL. There we are adding another production block, which would add another 400 KL to our capacity. So all in all, the Lote site capacity would be around 1,000 KL towards the end of this financial year. Ambernath would be an additional capacity, which is around 70-100 KL, depending again on the kind of product mix which we put there, but it's also a multi-product facility. So these are the two areas where we are doing the capacity enhancement. And then the Isambard plot, we have already taken the plot. However, construction has not started there. That is something that we will keep for the next leg of growth. Whatever we have said till FY 2026, the top line we'll achieve would be through the Ambernath plant and the existing Lote plant.
Okay. Thank you. And just a follow-up on that, can you give me the current utilization levels across all our plants?
So the current utilization at Lote site is around 70%. This, I would say, is the optimized utilization because it is a multi-product facility, so there is a lot of product changeover that happens. But once the new block gets added towards the end of this year, definitely we'll have more capacity.
I mean, the overall utilization at the company level?
At the company level is around 70%.
This is the optimized level, or we can go above this?
Considering it's a multi-product facility, I would say 70%-75% would be the most optimized capacity utilization because of the current product mix what we have.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my end. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one. We'll take the next question from the line of Riddhima Goyal from Aquin P Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity, and congratulations to the team for such a good set of numbers. I have two questions. One is, I just wanted to know our CapEx plan for FY24, and what will be the estimated, you know, gross block going forward at the end of FY24?
See, when it comes to the CapEx plans, specifically, we are looking at two areas. One would be the Module E, which Dr. Saloni had just pointed out. So there we would be spending our major part of it. And of course, some bit of it will also go to the pilot plant in the Ambernath site. So these are the two areas where we would be spending the major CapEx. I think the CapEx range would be somewhere between 70 crores-90 crores, depends, some of which might be in the current year, some of which might also spill over into the next year. These would be the plans for CapEx in the current financial year.
Okay. And so
gross block would be somewhere around, I would say, around 250-300. I think this will add up to our overall existing gross block.
So currently we have, like in FY23, we had 260 crores of gross fixed assets, right?
Correct. And another 70 crores from the current year. And then the next couple of years, we might add another 120 crores. That would be the overall total which we will be adding up.
Okay. And what would be the asset turns we are targeting for this?
The asset turns would be in the around 2-2.5x we are targeting at the current moment.
Okay. And sir, how much time does it take to optimum utilization level for a new capacity?
So I would say about 2-2.5 years it needs for optimum utilization, because the first year, whenever you introduce any product, it would be mainly in the semi-regulated and domestic market. And then once the regulatory approvals come through, then we can start focusing the product into the more regulated market space. So let's say 2-2.5 years for optimum utilization.
Okay. This new plant will be dedicated for the newer products which we are going to introduce, or it would be used for the existing products as well?
So it would again be a multi-product block. So it would be a mix of both to cater to the new products what we are introducing into the basket, as well as some of the volume scale-up which we envisage in our current basket as well.
Okay. And just final question on the China part. So what is the on-ground situation over there? Like, do you see the demand is recovering, or when do you see this pricing pressure going to end and it will turn into a good revenue contribution?
Ma'am, let me tell you about China. As I told you, China, we started supplying. I have recently made, in the last 45 days, two visits to China, and the current situation in China is not that good. In fact, the Chinese are asking even intermediate and APIs from India. Wonder to me is that they are also asking formulations to be registered in China. This was the scenario and the discussion which I had never in the last 15 years. So you can understand there is a big opportunity, but time will take. As far as our API sales is concerned in China, we have already closed with them with the regular financial year, the quantities, and for that, we have also received almost some amount of money as a deposit security for the 2 years contract from those companies.
2 years contract you have taken with the Chinese people.
We don't want to make a longer contract, because when you make a longer contract, you may land up into trouble also. So we have done for 23 and 24, and that already signed, and the material has started moving. Things are on positive track.
These are calendar years. Whatever sir is saying are all calendar years.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, okay. And so, as per the situation which you are, you know, looking at currently, what is the revenue growth which you can easily achieve in FY 2024 or 2025? Like, looking at the orders which the customers are giving and, you know, the demand, as per the demand.
So, we have always indicated, you know, that 20%-25% year-on-year growth in revenue. Considering our baseline was slightly lower last year, 25% is something that we are very confident of achieving, and that's the minimum I feel that we can achieve. Definitely, there is an aspiration to achieve a higher number as well.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Tushar Bohra from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, and congratulations to the management for a very good set of numbers. First, just a quick clarification. As you had mentioned the previous calls as well, the utilization, when we say 70%, is typically volume-led, volume-based, and depending on the product mix, some of your products being very high margin, the absolute revenue figures can be dramatically different across quarters, right? So we've achieved 180 crore or so in one of the quarters in the past. So it's fair to say that the utilization level will not be a constraint for revenue, given the product mix changing to more favorable products or the higher margin products?
Yes, absolutely. Depending on the product mix and the geography mix also, in fact, you know, we can achieve much higher numbers from the same capacity. So capacity has never been, or in fact, going forward, will also never be, you know, bottleneck for us or our growth.
Great. And the capacity that is being added also, since you have incrementally a lot more traction coming in from regulated markets, maybe beginning this year or next, plus as well as the management has guided that the CMO products or CDMO projects will essentially be similar or higher margin than the base. So is it fair to assume that the asset turn that we are guiding at 2-2.25 is slightly on the conservative side and aspiration should be for higher? Because historically, you've maintained more than 3x asset turn quite comfortably across a few years.
Correct, Tushar. The only thing why we want to be a bit on the lower side is, like what Dr. Saloni has already said, it will take 2-2.5 years to fully, what do you call, optimally use the site at, say, 70%-75%. See, when you are looking at the 70%-75% utilization levels, that is where your 2.5-3x, whatever you are saying, is going to come. So that is the only, what do you call, thought difference which you and me are having. That's all. Nothing beyond.
So let's say when your whatever is your existing capacity, whenever it gets optimally utilized, and with a reasonably good balance of regulated markets to semi-regulated, 3x is closer to what we should assume, right? Rather than 2x.
Yes, pretty much. Yes, you are right.
Okay, great. Third, if you could share more details on the two CMO opportunities or CDMO opportunities that have been announced in the last quarter, one on the IO protein and one on one of your projects with the European company, as well as if you could share more details on, you know, there were few projects mentioned that you are also working on potentially. If you could just share more details, quantitative, qualitative, around the entire CMO/CDMO pipeline.
Yes, so for CDMO opportunities, currently we have already signed and announced two. The first one, you know, it is a very large opportunity for us. This is for API sales. It's an exclusive tie-up with one of the leading companies in Europe. And we will be supplying a certain volume of API, which is fixed, and the contract actually spans over 10 years. And we will be selling these APIs exclusively for them in all of their regulated markets. So this particular contract has very large potential, and we will be seeing a good volume uptake from the next financial year itself. And 26 is when, you know, we'll see the maximum volume coming in, and the contribution to the revenue would be much higher. The second CDMO opportunity, which we have just recently announced, is with the U.S. company Plasma Nutrition. Here we are trying to, you know, bring in a very new and groundbreaking technology in the protein space. It's a patented technology which Plasma Nutrition have. And Supriya will have an exclusivity for the Indian market. Basically, we are utilizing our USFDA-approved plant and our manufacturing capability. So we would be the manufacturing and the marketing partner. And as you know that, you know, whey protein in the last couple of years, the demand has just gone up significantly. And the protein space in general, you know, the demand is growing year on year. With this new technology coming in, and, you know, if we get the right kind of traction for the product, this could potentially be a very large opportunity for Supriya, and it would potentially change the protein landscape drastically in India as well. So this is something which we are really excited to work with them, and hopefully from next year the volumes would start picking up. Other than these two large opportunities which we have already announced, there are a couple of other opportunities also under discussion, but they are at a little premature stage. But the focus of the company is to add, you know, such opportunities which in another 2-3 years would start giving significant contribution to the revenue. So we have a de-risk portfolio of APIs plus, you know, some of these other CDMO opportunities. That's one of the reasons why also we chose the product in the protein space, because it would just diversify our current portfolio and product basket.
So when you say couple more opportunities, is it fair to say that these are maybe, you know, more advanced stages of discussion relative to the others? Because in the previous calls, we mentioned we are, you know, working on 15-16 potential projects or discussions or something around that number. So is it fair to say that the when you say two more opportunities, these are maybe more advanced relative to the others? What would be the overall number of discussions we would be having across intermediates and maybe other products also, APIs?
So currently there are about 8 to 10 active discussions which are at a slightly, I would say, you know, at a more concrete stage where we are discussing on how we can take up and, you know, we are mapping internally in terms of capacity and all. But out of these, I would say there are 2 or 3 opportunities which are at a much advanced stage, like you rightly said. We are very hopeful that in the coming few quarters, we would be able to make another announcement very soon.
Great. And thanks. If I may just ask one last quickly, just a clarification. This China, you know, when we say that we have resumed some supplies, is it fair to say that, you know, we are still quite low relative to the peak and the contracted commitment that we said 45 metric tons, so that is, say, maybe beginning calendar year 23. And would that be at least at a similar or higher margin than the corporate? Given that in the past, this product was possibly one of our higher, very high margin opportunities, the reduced margin, is it still in line with corporate or higher or lower?
So definitely, our chairman said that in terms of volume, we have seen a good recovery happening in the China market. As far as volume is concerned, because of the contract that we have in place, now we are assured that at least the volumes would move. But like he said, you know, the current situation in China is not very favorable in terms of pricing, and there is a lot of pricing pressure. So definitely as compared to the previous margins, what we were enjoying in those markets, they have reduced. However, they are still in line with or slightly higher, in fact, than the current EBITDA margins what we are making.
Great. Thank you so much, ma'am. That's very helpful. I'll join back in queue for more questions.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Bhaumik Salian from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is on the IO protein from Plasma Nutrition. So what kind of contributions are you expecting from that contract in the top line, and from when? Can you just please highlight that?
So currently, I mean, we are still bound by confidentiality, so we will not be able to share any numbers in terms of, you know, what would be the addition in our revenue just yet. But in the coming few quarters, we will definitely be in a better position to share what would the forecast be.
Okay. And on the China front, you mentioned that there was a restriction of only 45 MT of supply to China. So the API deal that you have signed right now, for the whole year, is it 45 MT and you have supplied only some part, or is there some different volume for that?
See, I told you, every product, when you think about supplying to China, you are already seeing the situation that there is a war between two countries for anti-dumping duties. From the day one, we have said previously, last 2 years also, that we have a certain share which we should take. If we try to exceed, they will do that, putting an anti-dumping duty. So we should not concentrate more and more on China. As far as the prices and the quantum is concerned, we already have shifted this current financial year. Almost we will cover 70%-75%. Balance 30%, it goes as per the financial year. We'll go in the next year. So we are assured. One thing I would like to tell you, that China is currently facing a lot of issues for their major exports to Europe and U.S. Their major exports are formulations, large facilities, where our chlorpheniramine maleate consumes, and they participate in big tenders in various areas of the world. Unfortunately, current situation, they are not able to access Europe, access U.S., and other markets. So they are taking with the minimum quantities, which we have discussed, and they continue with the business supporting, and that's already signed by them, and they are taking the material. So we cannot force them much more, because we also have certain quantities to be given and certain quantities we are trying to explore the market in other areas. Since China is not taking the complete large quantity, but we are getting benefits in other markets, that is Latin America, South America, in Europe. Many people have started asking the material with a better price also.
Okay, thank you. That answers my question.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Siddharth Purohit from InvesQ Investment Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Some of my questions has been answered. Some more data points I want, sir. Since we'll be also be capitalizing some assets during the year, so how would the depreciation number look like? And also, since you have a sizable, like, you know, export revenue, so still we are ending up paying, like, you know, more tax on a higher side. So any, like, you know, clarification on that?
See, the tax percentages, if you see, it is hardly 25%. Along with the deferred tax, the numbers might be, what do you call it, depends on various other factors because of the deferred tax. With respect to your question on capitalization, see, if you are talking about another 80 crore-90 crore worth of capitalization, see, somewhere around 7-8 crore will add up as a depreciation. I think that is how it generally is. If you take around, on an average, around 8%-9% of the life of, I mean, the value of the asset could be coming and hitting as depreciation every year. That is how generally the depreciation numbers move. So if you are adding 100 crore of CapEx, say somewhere around 8-9 crore will come and hit as depreciation every year. That is how it is.
Okay. And just to, like, you know, ask again that the 20-25% growth that we're seeing is on the volume side, right?
We are talking about the revenue, the value.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Viraj Mahadevia, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm new to the company, but fascinating developments. Just to probe a little further on the China question, so you mentioned for the specific product, we are supplying up to 45 for the reasons you've mentioned. But given the conversations you're having with the customers there, are you looking to increase your product basket exposure to the Chinese market? Are you talking to the eventual formulators, or are you going through a distributor that is going to distribute your products to the various formulators?
Yes, definitely. We have a lot of other products in the basket which we are currently registering in China. The volumes are not as big as some of, you know, what we have for the antihistamine therapy, but there are around 6 molecules which we are in registering. I mean, they are already in the pipeline. Other than the antihistamine range, there are some other molecules where we already have the registration approvals also from NMPA. So definitely there are other products which we are promoting. In China, the business model is always through distributors because there is a lot of language barrier which is there. So directly working with the end user is very difficult. So it's always a distributor-driven model.
Right. And they help you with the registrations and that paperwork, etc., because that's also challenging.
So we have very good experience handling China registrations because we were one of the first Indian companies to register our product in China. So our regulatory department is the one who handles the complete registration part. That is something as a strategy we don't give to our partner or our distributor. So the registrations are completely taken care of by Supriya. It's only the commercials where we are using our distributors.
Understood.
I'm very happy to say you that, no, one more thing I will say. Supriya is the only first company which was audited by NMPA China in India.
Wow. Excellent. And for your other products that you're looking to register or are registering, can the sum total opportunity size be equal to your current product of 45 tons? I'm just trying to understand. Can you double your business in China in 12 to 24 months?
No, it is not possible to double the business in China because the registration process in China itself is around 3 to 3.5 years. So it would not be possible to double it. But yes, maybe if we have a more 5 or 6 year view, it is then possible that we will be able to double through the other multiple products. But, you know, as a company for us, if you look at our revenue split for this year also, out of the 134 crore top line that we have done for first quarter, our major focused region actually is Europe. Around 35% of the revenue is coming in from Europe. If you look at our North American share also, it has gone up. It's around 10%. And then 10% is also coming from the Latin American market. So if you put that together, that's a more significant, you know, chunk that is contributing to the revenue. So our focus markets going forward as a de-risking strategy are Europe, North America and Latin America. So that's something that I would like to highlight. You know, the product portfolio is also more driven by these markets going forward.
Understood. And are many of these European and US customers first-time customers? Were they running a pilot or have they moved to commercial? Are they sourcing one product? Are they looking at your whole basket? Can you give us a flavor for where you are in that life cycle with these customers?
So for the existing product basket, because we have already commercialized these products since a long time and we are just getting the CEPs and the, you know, Latin American ANVISA registrations, the US FDA registrations, I think it would more be, you know, we are currently at a more advanced stage. Like we have already supplied the validation quantities, some trial quantities. So that business growth will come in faster. So this is for the existing product where we didn't have a presence in regulated market. For the new products, we are at a very initial stage. I mean, the products have just come out of R&D. So it will still take time, you know, for us to just at maybe sampling level and all, not yet at the validation and commercial level. But the existing product basket itself, other than the top three products, there are many products coming from decongestant category, antihypertensive, vitamins, where we can see a good growth happening in these markets.
Excellent.
We'll take the next question from the line of Ridhima Goyal from Aquin P Ventures. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for my follow-up question. Just wanted to understand that there is an increase in our net working capital, right? Majorly because of the increase in our inventory level. So I just wanted to know the reason for it.
Our inventory was somewhere around, say last March was somewhere around 92 crores and this March we were at around 115 crores. Even for the year ended, I mean for the quarter ended June, we were still at 115 crores. I don't see that this is causing any sort of a major issue, okay? See, we had stocked up because of China was totally uncertain on certain of the raw materials. So major of this were raw materials. And with 115 crores, with the, if at all if there is going to be a turnover of somewhere around, say, 500 to 600 crores, I think it's a decent amount of inventory to hold, I believe.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Naresh from Samiksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Firstly, congratulations to the management team and very happy to see the business coming back strongly. My first question is, I wanted to understand the gross margin trajectory slightly better. So earlier when we were getting higher margins in the CPM sales to China, we used to do 65% plus on gross margins. Then subsequently, we had issues and then we saw the margins going below, below 55%. And now again, since last two quarters, we are seeing the gross margins have come back to the 65% level. So can you help me understand? I understand that the regulated share has gone up year on year, but which are these products which are contributing and which have helped us to regain our gross margins?
So we cannot discuss, unfortunately, anything, you know, specifically in terms of products. That's something I think is confidential and we'll not be able to discuss product-wise details. However, like you rightly pointed out, the share in the regulated markets has gone up. And as you know, in the regulated markets, you have a better average selling price as compared to the semi-regulated and domestic market. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, the gross margins have gone back up.
Okay, and in Latin America, would you be enjoying similar gross margins, let's say, compared to Europe or US, or it would be lower than that, and if you can quantify that?
So, again, you know, that's something confidential which we'll not be able to quantify. However, in general, in regulated markets, you know, there is a better, you get a better average selling price as compared to the semi-regulated markets.
Okay. And what will be contribution of anesthetic and antihistamine range of products in this quarter?
One moment here. Somewhere around 45%, boss.
Okay. Just one last question. So, so based on the visibility you have for the orders, is this range of is this gross margin range of in excess of 63-64% sustainable in the upcoming quarters as well? If you can give us some color on that.
We never guide on our gross margins here. Our gross margins would be a mix of a product and a region mix. So we have never given any sort of a guidance, and at least to be very fair, I think between 60 to 65 is a possible number, but I please don't hold us to it, and this is not a guidance.
Sure. Okay, thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitesh Dutt from Burman Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I just have a clarification on one of your earlier remarks on China. So you mentioned that China is facing one of its worst situation in terms of API and intermediate supply in last 15 years or so. So just want to understand, number one, is this for few specific products or across the industry? Number two, what is driving this? Is it going to continue or is it there only for a short time? And number three, is Supriya able to benefit because of Chinese issues, let's say while supplying to US or Europe? Do we have those specific products which China is not able to supply anymore?
So overall situation in China, they feel that India is becoming now competitive against China because the things like wage cost and other things are already going up. They are not able to penetrate from China to European markets currently. in US. They find a lot of problems. So considering all these things, and there was a message and some discussion I had from my friends also. China is coming with some insurance policy for a common man, and they feel that the Chinese manufacturers will not give the justice to them. That is why many people were coming in meeting the many manufacturers in recent our visit to CPHI in the exhibition, that they were looking for the formulation intermediates API registrations in China. In fact, they were ready to spend the money also for that. This situation, very frankly, in my 36 years of life, I have never seen. This was the first year which was giving some, you know, sort of a hope that the Indian companies should get in China. Only their registration is a long period, so that is why they have to wait.
Mr. Dutt, does that answer your question? Do you have any further questions, sir?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you now. Please continue.
Yeah, just wanted to understand, will Supriya be able to benefit, let's say, China is facing supply crunch in exports also, right? You mentioned that they are not able to crack Europe and US markets anymore. So those specific products, will we be able to cater to the gap created by Chinese suppliers, if any, if there is an overlap in those product segments?
Yes, there are. I mean, it's not just this year. Since COVID, actually, a lot of the larger companies based out of US and Europe, they have been looking at India as an alternate source. And I think the trend still continues. So a lot of the products which they were earlier on buying from, let's say, China, they have slowly started moving the base to India. And in fact, some of the opportunities what we are currently discussing with our existing multinational customers are also on the similar lines.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Jagveer Singh from Shade Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. And my question is related to the margins. So we have a lot of improvement in the margins in Q1 versus Q1. And I think first half is the lower than the second half. So what is the guidance for the full year EBITDA margins?
So, like we have always maintained that 28 to 30% is, you know, a margin that we are very confident that we will be able to achieve and sustain in the long term. But definitely, depending on the product mix and the regulated market traction, what we have seen in the first quarter, if the same trend continues, there is a possibility of achieving a higher number as well. But the 30% is something that we are very confident we will be able to maintain long term.
Okay. And second question is, how much revenue we got in the second half in percentage wise, generally, because there is some seasonality, I think, in the number?
See, our H2 numbers would be slightly better than our H1 numbers. That is how we have always planned. See, generally what will happen is in around Q3, there will be a slight dip because all your regulated market customers will go for their holidays. So technically, in Q4 would be a better quarter than Q3. And of course, between Q1 and Q2, Q2 would be somewhat better. That is how we generally look at it, if you have to look at seasonality per se.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Ankur Kumar from Alpha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my questions and congrats for a good set of numbers. Coming to the last question on seasonality, so Q1 and Q3 are like similar. Is that what my understanding is? Is that right?
Yeah, you are pretty much right. Yeah.
Got it. So in terms of guidance, I think that is looking quite conservative now. As in, even on margins, you are saying 28 to 30, but Q1, which is a lean quarter, has done 34%. And in terms of growth also, Can you please comment on that?
So, like I said, you know, multiple times, 28% to 30%, yes, it is a conservative margin, but, you know, that is on an annualized basis. What happens is that a lot of the margin profile is driven by the product mix and in which region the product is going in. In certain quarters, it is possible that the margin levels are very high. But 28% to 30% is on an annualized basis, the guidance what we are very confident. We have still, you know, we are very aspirational that we will be able to achieve a slightly better number than this. But to be more conservative, yes, 28% to 30%.
Got it. And last question is on the tax rate. So that is like 33% this quarter. Any change in policy or should here be 26%, 27%?
Hey, I think, see, every one of you are making the mistake here. On the current tax only, the 25.6% would be applicable. Along with the deferred tax will always move up or down based on the capitalization and all various other timing differences on the assets, various assets. Okay, so please don't include the deferred tax line. If you want to compute, you can always look at the current tax line. See, there is always a difference. When you see a tax line in any financial, it is a combination of current tax plus deferred tax. So the 34%, there is no policy change or anything. It is only based on various timing differences of the various assets which cause the differences. That's all.
Got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
We would like to thank everyone for joining the earnings call for Q1 FY24. Thank you very much from the entire management team of Supriya Life Science Limited.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Supriya Life Science Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.